You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The US midterms took place last Wednesday, and many in US politics expected a large Republican gain due to both Biden's unpopularity and economic turmoil in the states. But surprisingly, the red wave never came, and Republicans did much worse than expected. I spoke to Professor Stephen Hoadley from the University of Auckland about the midterms and what its results indicate for US politics. With the US midterms, what's been the biggest outcome so far?
I think the consensus is the Democrats did less badly than feared, and the Republicans did less well as hoped. It was a great relief to everyone that the Trump-endorsed candidates did not do particularly well. A few of them did, but the majority appeared not to have prevailed or to have gotten a smaller vote than anticipated. And those who are opposed to Trump have taken some heart in anticipating that maybe the influence of Trump, not only on his immediate followers, but on the American voting public, the influence of Trump is on the wane.
Going into the midterms, many commentators were anticipating a red wave. Why did they think that, and why didn't that materialize?
Well, the red wave was anticipated because Trump's apparent popularity continues. He continues to be dominant in the news cycle because historically, the midterm elections usually turn against the incumbent government. That is, anybody who has a complaint about anything will blame it on the government of the day, whether it's Republican or Democrat. So the pundits say, look, history dictates that the Democratic Party in power at the present will lose votes, and perhaps there'll be a change of party as there was under Obama, and the Republicans then would dominate the legislature, whereas the Democrats would still have the presidency for the four-year term. But this time it hasn't happened, and maybe the pundits are saying it was the Supreme Court that mobilized women. That is, women are asserting their right to manage their own reproductive systems, and the women came out to vote in higher numbers than anticipated, so this was a new feature. And the other was that Donald Trump's extreme divisive rhetoric inserted into the campaign may have had a negative impact. Now, for liberals, this is good news. That means that Americans are coming to their senses, that moderate Americans are saying Trump is not the answer. Is in fact the problem, and that other leaders, more moderate, more policy-focused, more constructive, are necessary to make sure the United States continues its economic growth and its international influence.
As some races are still undecided, who's likely to be in control of the Senate and House coming out of the midterms?
The predictions are that, in fact, the reality is the Senate will remain in control of the Democrats. That is, they do have 50 seats now, and with the casting vote of the vice president, that means that they can always command a bare majority. There will be one more seat to be decided, that's in Georgia, unless there may be a runoff, so we may not know until December whether Georgia goes Democrat or Republican. The cautious prediction is it may go Democratic, so the Senate may remain firmly in Democrat hands. The prediction, on the other hand, is that the House probably, though not certain, but probably will go into Republican hands. And Kevin McCarthy, who is a great opponent of the Democrats and of Joe Biden, and a great ally of Donald Trump, will become the majority leader. And that commendable woman, Nancy Pelosi, who I have a great respect for, will become a minority leader. There is some changes afoot. Now, I might hasten to add that if the Senate is in control of the Democrats can continue to approve Supreme Court nominees, ambassadorial nominees, top official nominees for cabinet posts, for example, and top military posts. So this is a great advantage for the president because he can then secure approval of his own people, which does not require the approval of the House of Representatives. On the other hand, the president's budget and his progressive legislation does require the approval of both houses. So whereas the Senate may go along with the president's program, the House may not. And so the president, the anticipation is the president's program will slow down and he'll have to use executive orders and other kinds of devices to continue his progressive reforms.
What kind of impact will this election have on the 2024 race?
Well, everyone's watching it, not only for the immediate impact on the Biden administration, but will it encourage Trump to put his hat in the ring and to go for the presidency? And will it encourage Biden? Now, a couple of weeks ago, everyone said, well, Biden is, you know, he deserves a rest, which is a polite way of saying he's too old and sometimes misspeaks. And it's true. Both are true. I don't think those are vital disqualifications. But in the sensitive and divided political atmosphere, they could have weight. But the last thing I've heard, watching CNN and listening to Democratic spokespeople, Biden has decided he will be the candidate for the Democrats in the coming election. Trump is still undecided, given that the red wave that you mentioned earlier did not eventuate, that it was a little bit of a ripple rather than a wave, certainly not a tsunami. Maybe Trump is reevaluating, but Trump's main objective is to avoid prosecution. If he's the president, or even if he's a presidential candidate, the Justice Department and other agencies of law enforcement will be cautious about indicting and taking him to court. So in many respects, he's not running for president because he has a coherent program to make America great again. He doesn't. It's highly fragmented and contradictory and in many respects destructive of a stronger United States. But his motive appears to be to avoid bankruptcy, to avoid prosecution, to avoid, you know, to work for his own self-interest. So that may motivate him to try anyway.
That was Stephen Hoadley from the University of Auckland speaking about the US midterm elections.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.